Hello and welcome to another episode of the Dream Freedom Beauty Podcast. I'm your hostess, Natalie Ross, and today I'm talking with Carolyn Southwell, who's all the way down under in Australia. We are talking today about human design, which is a system that helps people understand how to make choices that really support the way that they're wired to be in the world. And we also talk about some breath work and just saying what needs to be said in ways that people are willing and able to hear. So join us today, and I hope that this episode brings you lots of insight and clarity. And I would really love to invite you all to go find your human design type. It is free to find out, and there's tons of free information on the web. And, let us know if it really helps you, because actually, our guests from the water ceremony back a few months ago are the ones who introduced it to me and Lizzie. And ever since then, I've just been like, wow, this has been so helpful. So I hope this is as helpful for you as it was for me. And definitely get in touch if something was, lit you up and helped you move through something that was confusing. All right, enjoy. Welcome to the show, Carolyn. It's so good to have you here, and you're our first Australian on the show.
Woo! Yes!
Let's do a little invocation, just something to invite you and me and our listeners to take a deep breath, let go of whatever they can let go of, and come into the present moment. And so, listeners, do just that. Take a deep breath. And if you can close your eyes, go ahead and close your eyes. If you're driving, of course, keep your eyes on the road. And on the out breath, allow any tension or worries or to-do lists or whatever to just fall to the side. Allow them to be placed over there. You can pick them up later. And invite your attention to be here in the present. And invite your awareness and your consciousness to pick up exactly what it needs to hear from this interview to get that answer you've been asking for, or that insight you've really been needing to have that aha moment that moves you forward, that catapults you into that next step, that next phase, and into alignment with whatever it is that you are so craving and desiring at that soul purpose level. And take another deep breath and relax on the out breath. And I'm just going to take a second to invite any of our guides from, aligned with love, aligned with our purpose, aligned with divine love. I'm going to invite them into this conversation right now for you and me, Carolyn, and for our guests, our listeners, so that we may ask them to help us to see, hear, and know exactly what it is that is being presented to us at any moment that we can take advantage of, take the opportunity and say yes to, and really be willing and able to receive. Because our guides can help us with whatever we want. So I'm going to ask them to help us with that right now. And when you're ready, Carolyn, just let me know and we will start the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. So let's see. I want to start by saying I love your tagline that says, I'm the coach, speaker, writer who will say what no one else is brave enough to say. That's just like, yes, like finally someone who's just like going to call people out on whatever it is. And I want to know, is this something that you, it's something that you've kind of been had all your life as a gift, or is it something you cultivated?
It's a little bit of both. I feel like I have a gift for being able to see really deeply into people, as I know you and Lizzie also do. And I realized over time that there were so few people who were being like really brutally honest. We do so much beating around the bush, as we'd say in Australia. I don't know if you have that saying in the US. It's like, come on, get to the freaking point. Like, so I would realize that if, and it's really important that it comes with permission. Like, it, and this was one of my biggest learnings, is that if people really want to move forward and they've given you permission to have a deep conversation, then actually what they really need to hear is the thing they really don't want to hear. It's the thing that's really going to challenge them. It's going to be the thing that's going to feel really uncomfortable. But actually that's what helps people move forward, right? And if we look at the how the mind is operated, so much of what is happening is unconscious. And it's those of us on the outside, especially those of us who can see really deeply, it's like, well, if you can see it, then as long as you've got permission, then freaking say it, because that's where that person's next breakthrough comes. But by definition, we can't see our own unconscious mind. We can't see our own unconscious stuff, our own shadow stuff, if we're sitting in the experience of the body mind of Carolyn, for example. So it's I realized that, one, I had a gift for it, but two, it's something that I've cultivated a lot, because I realized that it helps people so much. And like you said, your reaction of like, well, I love that so much, like, thank God, right? Because that's how other people feel. Yeah, other people are like, oh my God, somebody who will tell me the freaking truth for a change. So I'm a ballsy truth teller, and I've learned, Natalie, that most people in society do not want that level of truth. So I really wait to be invited, essentially. All right, I'm in a space where I feel like somebody really wants to hear what I have to say.
I love that, and I was wondering, was there a time in your life when this gift was more of a liability than an asset,
where
you were going around?
Absolutely.
Yeah, can you tell us a story about that?
Oh my God, I don't even know. I haven't got a single one story. It was just like story of my life. I did it so much, because I didn't realize that. Like, I think all of us in our process of becoming more and more conscious, I think most people have a default way of thinking that whatever their experience is, other people must be the same. I think we all pretty much do that. And even those of us who have like done lots and lots of work to wake up, I think we can still fall into that trap of going, oh, well, this is how I experience the world. I just assume everyone else does as well. So I just kind of assume that everyone could see deeply, and that everyone could see the stuff that needed to be improved or could be fixed or changed or heightened or made easier. Or so, and I knew I wanted to hear for myself how to like improve things, so I just assumed everyone else did for like my whole life. Actually, it started to shift really when I read How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie.
What was it about that really shifted it?
I think it's been a long time since I've read the book, because I read it when I was 28, and I was in the US doing a summer camp, and I had traveled and lived in so many places and made so many friends, but lost so many friends, like leaving town. It was before Facebook was really big, so, you know, you'd leave a town, you'd say goodbye to people, and it was like, it wasn't, I'll see you on Facebook. It was like, okay, bye. It was nice knowing you.
Bye forever.
What was that?
Bye forever.
Which in some ways has its advantages, because you're more present and then you learn to let go. But there was, I don't know if you've read the book or if the listeners have read the book. And there's lots of things in it now that I don't really love. But for where I was at in my process of waking up, it was exactly what I needed, because it talked more about, I guess, being with the other person, like finding out about the other person. And as I would pay more time and attention and energy listening to the other person and kind of getting into their map of reality and understanding how their life worked, then I started to learn that people weren't all like me and they didn't perceive the world the way I did. So that started to help. And then I had more breakthroughs when I started studying human design, which is the lens through which you and I met. Because the information about a projector, I was like, oh my God, there's this group of people called projectors and we're really deep. And, oh, everyone else doesn't operate this. And, my God, everyone doesn't want to hear what we have to say. We have to wait till we get invited. And then when I really started waiting till I got invited, so much shit changed. I was like, ah, thank God for this tool, lifesaver.
So you mentioned human design, and it is how we connected, because I heard you on another podcast talking about human design, and I had just heard about it recently, and I was like, oh yeah, this is like that tool. It has shifted my life in such a big way already, with only like a month of hearing about it. But can you explain for our listeners and for other people who might not really know about it or understand it, what sort of tool it is and maybe what it's best used for?
Okay. So human design, like all tools, was like channeled from the divine through a human, and is a combination of many, many things, including but not limited to the Kabbalah Tree of Life, Western astrology, the Chinese I Ching, the Hindu chakra system, astronomy, genetics, two other sciences that elude me right in this moment. But essentially there's a whole bunch of different things that come together and create the most crazy kick-ass chart that you've ever seen. Like, people look at it and they go, oh my God, this looks like hieroglyphics. How do I work out what this means?
It really does, though.
Yeah, it looks really weird, hey? But it's
And I want to point out here that listeners can get their free chart online. You just search human design, Jovian human design, and you can put in your birthday. Yes. So if they're listening, they're like, what's my chart? So carry on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So Jovian Archive, if you search for that, you'll be able to get your free chart and it'll have all this info on it. And there's also humandesignamerica.com/chart will take you through. And it's all the same software. So those two in particular I know are really reputable, and you'll get an accurate chart. The charts will look different, but you can use either of those. And so basically that's what it is. Now, I'm the sort of person, Natalie, who I kind of think of people on a continuum between super, super spiritual and hyper-rationalist scientific. And I feel like we all fall somewhere in that continuum in terms of our beliefs. And I feel like I fit somewhere kind of in the middle-ish. So when I first came across human design, I was introduced to it by a client who was a psychotherapist. And she said, I've had this chart done. I think you'll really like it. I looked it up and I was like, whoa, looks like hieroglyphics. What does this even mean? And wasn't at the time wasn't in a position to be able to pay to have a full chart reading. So then I started Googling all the pieces to see if I could work out what everything meant or that some of the stuff meant. But then I went and looked for some scientific validation that this thing worked, because I was like, okay, cool, yeah, I believe in channeling. Like, this was a couple of years ago. I'm like, yeah, I believe in channeling. I don't think it's ridiculous to think that this guy channeled this system. Oh yeah, it's got some components that I have heard of before. Great. But then when I saw that it had the type in particular, me as a projector, you as a reflector, the various types, had been scientifically validated to 99% validity, I was like, oh, okay, well, now I'll pay more attention, because I was seeing that science and spirituality said the same thing. And that's my favorite play space, Nat, is where science and spirituality say the same freaking thing. They might use very different language for it, but they say the same thing. So that's one of the things I love about human design, is it's a tool that really, as long as somebody's a little bit open-minded, like they're not totally hyper-rationalist, then they can still see how the tool could improve their life. And so to the second part of your question is like, what is this tool useful for? Really, it can be used to improve or enhance any area of your life. But I always recommend that everyone starts with understanding what their type, strategy, and authority mean. Because if you only, if every person on the planet just operated with a basic understanding of what type, strategy, and authority was for them, the whole planet would work so much better. Forget about all the details and the lines and the gates and the channels and the numbers and everything. You can forget about pretty much forget about all of it, unless you're like deeply interested. If you have a one in your profile, mm-hmm. you're going to go, oh my God, I need all the detail because you detail people. But really, to understand type, strategy, and authority improves personal relationships. It improves professional relationships. It improves your health. It means that you understand that if you're a reflector like Nat, they need lots of alone time. And thinking that you can have a full-time job in an office like AKA like so-called normal people is freaking ridiculous and totally unstable and downright cruel to ask a reflector to behave like the way most people in society do. It's like, it's awful. That's how you kill a projector. Don't do that. Like a killer reflector and a projector, by the way. We're not good at it either.
Yeah.
So yeah. If you have health issues, it can help. If you have like issues trying to work out what's the right work for you, or if you're working to a sustainable level, basically if you're feeling like there is an issue in your life and the things that you've done so far haven't worked, human design is going to help you in some way, shape or form, probably to the point where you become raving fans like Nat and I.
I feel like we're on an infomercial. I'm like, if your left toenail's fallen off, try human design.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, and you and I have had conversations about tools and the limits of tools, but as far as tools go,
yeah.
It's one of my favorites. It comes out of my toolbox pretty much every day.
That's really cool. And as you were talking, I was remembering some of the stuff I had read about it, and I was remembering that at the very core, it seems like what it helps someone do is make better choices that are aligned with how they're kind of like wired as a human. And since we're, like you mentioned, you took you a while to realize that not everyone was wired like you. Ooh. It's like we all have these different we're all wired differently. So how can we use that wiring to our advantage? And that power is in that choice.
I love that that way of explaining it. That's a brilliant way of explaining it. Everyone listen to what, like, just rewind the podcast and listen to that bit again. So you hear it. It's like, it's phenomenal. And it's also phenomenal to not only understand the basics of your own chart, but then say, go in with their permission, of course, look up your husband's chart or your children's chart or your like most close sort of 2, 3, 4, 5 people, because like, for example, there's a very good chance, Nat, that your husband will probably be, I don't know for sure, but a generator or a manifest generator. That happens a lot.
He's a generator. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's super helpful to understand the basics of what a generator is and how they operate, because then you go, oh, when he does this, that's normal for him. And it's completely not normal for me, so it's ridiculous for me to ever try and do that thing that he does, right? So even if it's not about educating the other people, it's not necessarily about going and telling your husband or telling your wife or telling your kids, although if your kids are little, please, please go and indoctrinate them because it's so helpful.
Program them.
Well, we're programming them anyway, so we may as well program them with stuff that's, right. like, helpful and empowering. So it's not necessarily about... But, I mean, particularly the adults in your life, it's not necessarily about putting this tool on them and expecting them to behave a certain way. Even if all they ever agreed to is like, oh, sure. Like, I imagine there's a lot of listeners on here who are like would consider themselves beautiful, earth-loving, spiritual hippies and maybe don't have a partner or parents or siblings who are on the same page, who are probably more at the like hyper-rationalist end of the continuum, right? It's very common. Look at my family, for example, and you'll see lots of that. If you look up the chart, then you don't necessarily need to go and, like, tell them all about themselves unless they want to know, but but you can use it to understand them better. And if you understand them better, you can change personally the way you interact with them, and then your relationships will change. So it all comes down to like one of my favorite terms, which is about personal responsibility. It's never about changing anybody else. It's always about what do I want to do differently in my own life to improve the quality of my life. And through that, create a ripple to be able to improve our relationships and our impact on other people.
Yeah. And I was, when I was reading your website, you had mentioned on there somewhere about how you really aim to help people see how the way to change the external is to focus on changing the internal. So that's, you know, this tool can help to understand just how to do that. And I want to get a little bit more into human design. And I feel like I want to say a couple things, because one thing is it was something like 70% of people are generators, and then like 20% or something are
projectors.
And then there's like 7% are manifestors or something. Right. Is that, am I
adding
this
pretty
up?
Close. 70, you're pretty 80, close. 90. Yeah.
It's like 7 or 8% are manifestors, and then like 1 to 2% are reflectors.
Yeah, you got the numbers. And so, perfect. Good.
Okay, cool. So there's these four different types. Most people are generators, and then the next biggest one is projectors. So I feel like when I was doing a lot of research, there was a lot of information about generators because there's so many of them. So let's get into the other three types. If you want.
We
don't have to like spend the whole time, but
So the first thing I want to do is say that there are a whole lot of teachers now who actually split generators and manifesting generators, and I think that that's really wise. So in that 70%, there are what are called pure generators, and I won't get into the specifics of what make them different, but if you pull up a chart that says generator or another one that says manifesting generator, a manifesting generator is kind of like a hybrid between a generator and a manifester. They still need to behave mostly like a generator, but they have this bit of them like the manifester that does not want to be told what to do and can move really fast and create really fast and start really fast. And if you have if you're listening to this and you have a manifesting generator child, please do not ask them to sit still or to relax. Just let them friggin' run around like Energizer bunnies. There's nothing wrong with them. They don't have attention deficit disorder. This is my non-medical diagnosis. They are a manifesting generator. They just need to run around all day until they're exhausted, and then they go to sleep, and then they'll wake up tomorrow and they'll do it all over again. Right?
And actually, this is making me think, do you want to go through, so we'll say that there's five types then because of the manifesting generator. Would you want to go through and give like a sentence or two that kind of characterizes each type? Just because I know we'll probably have each type listening.
So generators are really good at working. It's really important that they do, and building. It's really important that they do work that's meaningful for them. Right? It doesn't mean you have to be an employee. It just means that you're doing work in some context. So if you're retired, it could mean volunteer work. If you run your own business or multiple businesses, it just means that you enjoy doing the, like, working. And, you know, and that would be like, oh, yeah, I don't like working, right? Because it's quite different for some of the other types. But as a generator, you'll be like, well, of course I like working. Doesn't everybody? No. But you're here to work. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that you do work that's meaningful to you.
And actually, I want to ask you about that for the generator. So, like, does that work, does it necessarily mean work that you're getting paid for? Or does it mean, like, what you have to be engaged and, like, focused and, like, really doing,
you're putting
you
energy
retired.
So it's like I really like is having a car that you fill up with gas in the morning, right? So you've woken up from your night's sleep and you've got a car full of gas, and your job is to drive around in that car all day until the gas tank is empty. That's your job. Do that every day. Drive to pretty places,
and that's generators
that you enjoy, right? That's your job.
Cool.
And I really like this analogy, because what will happen is sometimes you'll get up to a set of like a stoplight, a traffic light, and then the engine turns off and you need somebody to like hit the ignition button again, which is why the strategy for the generators and the manifesting generators is to respond, which means somebody has to come and like turn on the ignition again, and then you can drive again. So generators will do this stop start kind of behavior. So when they reach a stop, somebody else needs to turn them on again, which is why they're not here to initiate. They're not here to make things happen, which is the hardest thing for a conditioned generator or manifesting generator to realize. You're not here to make things happen. You're just here to respond as things come to you. Super important. Totally wow. Google the crap out of that, or like get a human design reading with someone, because if you can nail this and peel back that conditioning, it will change your freaking life. Now,
that is cool. And I feel like that's a really good succinct, like, you're here to work and do and respond. You're not the one to necessarily initiate what is being done. That's great. Okay.
So manifest generators are a lot like that, except that instead of getting a regular old nice car, like this turbocharged 7-speed like Ferrari, do you know what I mean? It's like, so you get to do everything really fast. And just pretend there are no laws to say you have to go like 30 miles an hour in a particular zone. It's like you manifesting generators know the shortcuts to everything. So if there's 10 steps, they'll go and like skip 4 of the steps and get to like the end before anybody else has got there. And they'll be like, why are you guys so slow, right? Because they're totally like Energizer bunnies. They'll be like super, 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 super fast. And they're supposed to be. So you're high energy beings. You'll probably want to do multiple things at once. It's very rare for a manifesting generator to focus on one thing at a time. Normally they're juggling 2 or 3 businesses or like multiple roles in the family. They might have lots of kids and it's totally like they totally do it with their like hands behind their back. It's like fine. Other people tend to look at manifesting generators and go, oh my God, I wish I could be like that. Well, every type has its benefit and its drawback. And you are who you are, so just fucking love who you are. If you're a manifesting generator, that means that you're an energizer bunny and you are naturally designed to do 12 million things at once. And any of the rest of us who look at you and go, you should slow down, we need to stop doing that because that's not helpful. And they still need to respond. Yeah.
Huh. But, okay. But they have a little more capacity to perhaps start or initiate the whatever.
They're still not designed to initiate, but the difference is that, like, when somebody, like, if they've stopped at the stoplight and somebody turns on the ignition, they are, like, through and 4 blocks up before you even realize they've started the car again.
That's awesome. That's how I like to drive, even though I'm a reflector.
So then the next group are the projectors, which is me and your sister. Projectors, we're here to study and master our craft. So we're here to get really, really good and really dive deep into a body of work that we love. So for me, it's all about waking up and helping other people wake up. That's pretty much it. So that's what I keep diving into. It took me a really long time to get here. I tried so many of the conventional paths of things that I thought I wanted. But now that I'm in here, I'm like, no, this is what I'm on the planet to do, right? So it's for a projector, we're not very good at, like, we're not really designed for work. So if a projector needs to work, say, a day job, like keeping us away from things that, like staying away from things that are really high energy, like absolutely no laboring jobs, no jobs that, you know, don't be a full-time landscaper. Like, even if you like the garden, make that your hobby on the weekends. And I mean, obviously, I can't say definitive rules for everybody because I'm like, oh God, if you're a landscape, you know, full-time landscaper and you love it and you're healthy, you know, don't listen to the human Carolyn, like listen to yourself. But as a general rule, like as projectors, where we don't wake up in the morning with a car full of gas. It's like it's just not how it works. That only works for generators and manifesting generators. The rest of us, that analogy is not suitable because it's not how the mechanics of our body work. So we're really good at seeing deeply. The reason our strategy says wait to be invited is because not everyone wants to hear the crazy deep stuff that we have.
As you
we
learned.
Have to wait till we get invited onto a podcast to talk for an hour and a half about the things that we love. Then we can say whatever we like.
That is right.
So projectors are really good at coaching and guiding others. So we could do like consulting roles, coaching, anything where people are going to recognize us and what we're capable of, and continuously invite us to share our wisdom. Mm-hmm. That's ideal. And you can do it in an entrepreneurial context, in a whatever context feels good for you, based around whatever you love to do. So if you love, I mean, I keep getting in a picture of gardening. So, you know, maybe it's because there's a lot of people who are really like,
it's because we're talking and I love gardening.
Oh, okay. There we go. Right. Okay. I'm getting it from you. I'm like, where am I getting this? So if your passion is around like the earth and garden and plants and flowers and veggies, and then it may well be that you're here to like guide and consult other people about how to make really nurturing gardens, right? Mm-hmm. But it's very much about guiding the other.
Cool.
Projectors are like, generators typically are like self-focused, and projectors are like other-focused. Mm-hmm. We're all about like guiding the other. As a general rule. And then manifestors that sort of hold 7, 8, 9.
Because yes. I want to just point out something, since you're a projector and I was doing a bunch of research on you. On your website, you said something that you really are inviting in and love to work with people who love to go to the depths that you like to play at. And that is that something that's common for projectors? Like the depth, or is it more about the guide?
No, projectors tend to be pretty deep people.
Okay.
So it's about how our energy field works. So each of the types, their energy field works differently. And we're called a projector because our energy field literally projects into the like heart of the other person and goes like right into them.
Yeah.
Right?
Cool.
So it's like I do really deep coaching because when I'm connecting with my client, it doesn't matter whether we're in the same room, because as we know, time doesn't really exist. It doesn't matter because I do most of my coaching via video calls like this, right? So then I'm connecting with this person and my energy field is literally projecting straight into the deepest part of who they are. Mm-hmm. So I can see really deep. So let's talk really deep.
Yeah. Okay.
So they're my favorite people to have conversations with.
That's cool. And that's really, and so Lizzie, just for our listeners to know, Lizzie's also, she's a projector, and I can say that I totally see this. If I like look at Lizzie and her relationships and her life, I can totally see how this knowledge is so important, because I've watched her, want that invitation. And finally, like, this podcast is such a great thing for her on one level, because it is that invitation to go deep. It's like, here we can go play in that space. So just if anyone's curious, if, you know, since Lizzie's not here, I figured I'd just pop that in. But that was just a thought I wanted to throw out there. So carry on.
Yes. So manifestors are the other group that everyone says that they want to be until they realize how hard it is to really be a manifestor. So manifestors are here to initiate. They're the ones who are here to start things. So they have an idea and then they go and make it happen, right? So all these slogans that we see, make it happen, just do it, start the thing, that's all manifestors talking, or people who have been conditioned by manifestors, right?
Uh-huh.
And they literally are here to start things. They're the ones who get the chain of events started. Like, they start the ball rolling. And then they need the generators and manifesting generators to do a lot of the grunt work, a lot of the heavy work. And if the generator and manifesting generator is going to be healthy and happy, it'll be the grunt work they want to do. They need projectors to guide and manage it. And then they need reflectors to make sure everyone's healthy in the whole process, kind of overseeing the, like, okay, is everyone doing all right? Let me look after the whole collective all at once for like 10 minutes of my day and then go hide in the garden.
And give me $10,000.
Yes, exactly. Yes, we'll get to reflectors. They need to be the highest paid for the least amount of work for the benefit of everybody. A manifestor, what manifestors have in common with projectors and reflectors is that all three types are not here to work. We just don't have the strong connection to sacral energy, which is the work drive, the sex drive, the doing drive, right? So they do have a little bit of drive from a different part of their, I don't want to get into too much detail, but basically they do have a little bit of grunt to be able to get moving, but it comes from a different energy center and it's not long lasting, right?
Ooh, so they've sorry, got enough you just grunt kind of able- roboted there. You said that it comes from a different energy center.
And- it comes from a different energy center, which means that they've got just enough by design. They're wired that way to be able to get projects off the ground, but they don't have the energy to get the project like continuing. So a manifestor is designed to start projects, to get projects off the ground, and then they have to hand it over. So if a manifestor hears this, it's like, you know, your biggest criticism is from people is probably one of two things. One, that you have anger issues. You don't have anger issues. You just need to have everyone's telling you to like stop trying to tell you what to do, because you're not here to be told what to do. You're here to tell the rest of us what to do in a firm, gentle, loving way and put the correct people in the correct place for things. But you are starting things. I just lost my train of thought. But, so, yeah. And you'll probably have people who have said, oh, you have to finish things. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, you're a manifestor. I hereby give you permission right now that you never have to finish anything else in the rest of your life ever. Like those big projects, you're here to start them. Mm-hmm. Other people are here to do the work to continue them. Other people are here to do the work to finish them. You are a friggin' brilliant starter. So your job is to work out which things to start and get them off the ground and then get the people in place so that the project can continue the way you imagine it. And then you go start the next thing, because that's what you're here for.
I bet that's such a relief to people who are manifestors who have had that feeling of feeling like it's not right for them to be always starting things, to hear like, no, that's like what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do. Totally. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's the logistics of like, how do I survive in the day to day? So people who are still shifting into a place, like maybe you're starting your own business, but you still have to do a day job. Like you have to work out how to manage the logistics of like feeding yourself for sure. But you will be far happier and healthier when you get to projects, when you are like putting other people in place, mm-hmm. to be able to continue the work, and that you're not expected to like do the ongoing grunt work, because it's going to kill you. Like if you do things that are not correct for your wiring, you are not going to live a long, healthy life. And it doesn't mean that you're going to die at like 40. It just means that you're not going to live a really long, healthy life, because you're not using the mechanics of your body right. You know, you're not using the mechanics of your energy body right. So, I mean, the key thing in all of it for everyone is to like listen to and notice what you're good at, notice what you naturally want to do, and do that. So a manifesting generator or a generator might love doing 8 to 9 hours a day of like hard laboring kind of work, but if they've grown up in a really strongly intellectual family, they might think that they need to do some high-level management job. But they get to the end of the day and they can't sleep because they haven't used their body enough, right? Mm-hmm. And then a projector doesn't naturally want to work hard, so why the fuck are we trying?
That's right.
So listen to yourself and notice what's really good, and then give yourself permission to do what feels really good, and find a way to be really well paid to do the thing that you love, because it's going to support, like naturally, there's no mistakes in the universe. Like naturally, if Nat wants to spend all her time in the garden, there's a way that naturally is going to help the rest of us. Like there's, it's not selfish. There's no mistakes. It's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So let's look at reflectors.
Yeah.
You guys are like tiny, 1.5%-ish of the population, depending on which stats you look at. And so you guys are designed to move really slow.
You know what? And my nickname as a kid was the sloth.
Excellent.
Thanks, Mom. But it's so true.
Yeah. Actually, we could assign totem animals like to each of the, like, manifesting generator would be a bunny, like just jump around all day doing things, you know, or one of those like high energy birds flitting around constantly that never sit still, like a finch or something. But yeah, you guys would be the sloth. But what we need to realize is we need to do that without like judging the sloth as bad. The sloth is beautiful. It's in the world for a reason. It sleeps a lot for a reason. Like if we were going to call you an animal in Australia, we'd probably call you the koala, right? Because the koala sleeps for 20 hours a day and then only has 4 hours a day like mating, eating, climbing around trees, right? Actually, you'd love it because they get to hang out in trees all day.
That sounds great. Yeah.
I'll call you the koala. But the issue is in that they called you a sloth and it had a negative connotation. And actually, no, the sloth is gorgeous and it has its place. Right? And we need to like love and protect the sloth because the sloth is important. And, you know, as a reflector, I mean, the reason you guys are called reflector, you know, this chlorine. So one, you reflect what's going on for everybody else because all of your energy centers are open. And if we happen to hear any other reflector, whoever hears this podcast, like, oh my God, look up your chart.
Yes.
And learn what it means to be a reflector and realize that you need to spend like 70% of your like days and time alone to be healthy, like big chunks. Mm-hmm. Forget about living in big community houses. Like forget about other people putting pressure on you to have 5 children. Like hell no. Forget about like working in an office surrounded by other people. You know, you are designed to have a lot of time alone and take a long time about making decisions, a whole lunar cycle. And you can see, like, you are reflecting what's happening for everyone else. So, like, you kind of can't hide when you're around a reflector. Reflectors tend to have, like, be really, really choosy about their friends because they need to, and they will choose, like, they will naturally gravitate towards people who are, like, far more conscious, far more emotionally intelligent, because it just rocks the whole, like, energy body of a reflector to be around people who have deep-seated anger issues or are really, really physically unhealthy, because then that just all, like, rolls into the reflector and the reflector's like, what? Mm-hmm. What? I don't want to be in this energy. Oh, a party of 4-year-olds. Oh, no, I'm out of here.
Sounds like hell.
Exactly, right? Whereas for a manifesting generator, we'll be there having a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I love kids, you know.
I mean, I do like kids, but the thought of them is just like, oh my God, like I need my 70% alone time and do not disturb.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, so it means that the reflector like goes and hangs out with nieces or nephews or cousins or whoever for short chunks of time to go, hi, I love you, let's play. And then like 10 minutes later, or half an hour later, you leave. And then there's nothing wrong with that, but that's just honoring you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so
– the biggest thing with this tool and like any other tool is that it's a human construct and all it does really is give us permission to be our fucking selves. And if we really learn to listen to ourselves and like nurture the observer or nurture the witness, so then we can be watching – you know, Natalie, watching Carolyn, watching ourselves as the listener, then we'll realize what we naturally want to do and we can honor it. And mm-hmm. So what I found is that at a period of time where I was doing a lot of human design work, I would sometimes work with women who were in their 50s or 60s or even 70s who had been doing like so-called personal development and spiritual awareness work for a long time. And the chart would just confirm the way what they'd already worked out over the course of their life. So you can speed up that process for yourself by looking up your chart, but also like noticing what you do, what you love, and giving yourself permission to do what you like naturally feels true for you. Because if it feels naturally true, then it is true.
Uh-huh.
We've just got to stop having everyone else put their like great friggin' opinions for how we should live our lives. That's my swear word, should.
Uh-huh. That's funny. There's this phrase you may have heard that's like, don't should on me.
I use it all the time.
I love that. Don't should on me. So something about this too is, it's funny how even just having that validation of something that you may have suspected all along and having this sort of external validation that what you want is okay and possible is enough permission to then bust through any conditioning you may have to finally acknowledge that and accept it and make different choices that align with that truth that you've always wanted or known. It's like that little tiny permission can be so liberating. That little tiny validation And so thank you for the human design outlook. And I really want to just get into some more stuff about you too and what you've been doing. And we had a chat a few weeks ago where you mentioned you were sort of shifting out of focusing on human design in a big way. Like, you still use it as a tool, and you kind of talked about this a little earlier, but what is this inspiration for this shift? Like, what's going on in this shift of your focus, and what inspired that?
Okay, so I feel like it kind of snuck up over 2016. So I had loved how much of a shift I'd been able to have from that awareness of what it means to be a projector and how I'm designed to make decisions. And I think this is the thing with any tool. As soon as we have something in physical form, it by definition has limits, right? They might be beautiful, but it has limits. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the body mind of Carolyn has its own limits for what it can and can't do. The human design as a tool is wonderful, and it has its own limits, right? So what I realized is that I looked at other people who had businesses focused around a particular tool. I realized that we'd got so caught up in that particular tool that we weren't seeing beyond that. And it's like, hang on, we're infinite beings. Why are we limiting ourselves to one? So what I'd realized is that I had got, and my clients were getting, like, really good results and improvements, but we'd hit a point where we're like, and for myself as well, where I'm like, oh, but there's other things that I want to shift and change, and I'm not finding the answers within human design. So then I would shift to another tool, and I did about 8 months of pretty solid faster EFT, which, if anyone hasn't come across it before, it's a hybrid of EFT, which is emotional freedom technique, which many people have heard of. Some people refer to as tapping, which is a system for being able to change beliefs and unlock, like, release old emotions, old stories, stuff that's trapped in the body mind, usually trapped in at an emotional level. So thing happens when you're a child, you get smacked by mum or dad. In that moment, you make a decision that means that you're a bad person, and then that belief that you're a bad person then creates all this other crap as you go through life, right? Mm-hmm. So EFT and the kind of super version of that, faster EFT, which I really like, allows you to go in and unhook that I'm a bad person and go, oh, mum or dad hit me because at that time in point in time, that's what they thought disciplining their child meant, and they were doing the best that they could. And I choose now to unhook that I'm a bad person and realize I have a human body, or I am a human. And sometimes I do things that somebody might perceive as good or bad, but it's all just perception and none of it's true. And I'm not a bad person. I'm just a person doing things that I love. End of story.
Awesome.
And I'm perfectly flawed. So I'm going to do cool things and I'm going to do shitty things. And that's just part of being human. Right. So when you unhook that belief, then suddenly this whole other world opened up. So doing this chunk of faster EFT, which it was EFT and NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, plus some understanding of the body-mind connection, in terms of understanding that your listeners will probably know some of this stuff. So Louise Hay talks about you can heal your life, and like the left side of the body means something's happening with the feminine, and the right-hand side of the body means something happening with the masculine. And if I hurt my back, it's something to do with like support, and if it's shoulders, then I'm carrying the burdens of the world, etc., etc. So all these things were put together into this sort of super tool called Faster EFT, which I totally hands down love. Look up fastereft.com. It rocks. We can even put some links in the show notes.
Yeah
perhaps. I then used that to go and, so human design had me better using, like, understanding how I was naturally wired. And then I used Faster EFT to go and clean up a whole lot of those old beliefs.
Ooh, that's cool.
And that combination together is friggin' mind-blowing. So then I focused on making sure that I was connecting people with both tools, because it's really great to have that awareness, but it's like if you're doing the work that's right for you, but you believe you're a bad person and then bad people don't deserve to have money, you're going to keep yourself broke.
Yeah. And you got to have a method to tunnel into the core of that. And
exactly.
As you said, unhook it. And it can be that easy.
Yeah, it can be that easy. And the tricky bit is, one, having like, well, it's not even tricky. So as soon as somebody learns the basics of Faster EFT or any system, like it's like this, we don't need to get evangelistic about a tool because it's just a tool and it freaking rocks, but there's also like 12 million other tools. It's just the one that I happen to like and recommend because I have had great success with it. Mm-hmm. And it means that somebody can learn in a not too long period of time without too much time and energy, a bit of energy to understand how it works and to do the work. Just like if you're running for a marathon, you can't just go decide tomorrow you're going to run a marathon. You got to like train for it. But being able to go down and have a way to be able to go down in and unhook it, once you know the process, the unhooking is easy. Mm-hmm. It's just knowing how to go down in and find that needle in a haystack, mm-hmm. And two, know where to look in order to find it. But right. Once you learn those mm-hmm. two things, then like pulling the needle out of the haystack, that shit's easy.
Mm. I'm wondering, is there a like simple Faster EFT intro you could like do on air for listeners to try right now, or is it too much to kind of explain? And
I'm not qualified in Faster EFT.
Okay.
So, and that's not to say that I couldn't, but my preference is to direct people. I mean, I've done a lot of it. Let's be honest. I've done a lot over the last 8 months. But it would be probably a bit of a disservice to do it that way.
And there's tons of stuff on YouTube, right? And
truckloads.
Yeah.
Truckloads of stuff. Yeah. And that was how I started. I started by watching a whole lot of free Faster EFT videos. Because I was like, I want to get a sense of this. Is this worth putting my time and energy into? Was it like the same thing with human design when I first looked at it? I was like, okay, mm-hmm. Let me Google it. Let me understand it. Let me see if I think it applies to myself. Let me go and see some science that proves the same thing as I'm being told from a spiritual perspective. And then once I'd kind of collected enough data for myself, I'm like, tick, yes, I'll listen to this. Great, let's go nuts. And it kind of bloomed from there. The same was true for Faster EFT. So, I mean, Whilst we can do a bit of a demo, it's actually probably more helpful for people to just go ahead and like look it up, jump on the website and get the get on the mailing list and watch the videos, the first few videos in the order that Robert Smith, the founder of Faster EFT, recommends.
Cool. We can put links, as you said, in the show notes to all that. Yeah. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. So I did that in answer to your like original question.
Yeah.
How did I move out of that? So I'd done that, and then I was starting to hit the limit. Like I was getting to, I'm such an explorer, Nat. I'm like, so I was finding the limits of like I was getting sick of tapping every day, like doing Faster EFT. I'm like, okay, I'm bored. I need to explore something new. Within about a week of going, oh, I'm bored. I need a new tool. I found myself in a room with a whole bunch of new people who I'd never met before. Awesome stuff. It was like the coolest combination of personal development and spiritual awareness and like no egos in the room that I'd ever seen. It was like mind-blowing. And the integration to be able to take the information from the day and actually embody it was done by a breathwork facilitator whom I'd also never heard of. And the session was profound, so profound. In an hour, I went deeper than I'd ever gone with any other tool ever. And if anyone's had any exposure to breath work, you know that there can be screaming and crying. So there's about 30 people in the room, but because I'd spent the day hanging out with them and getting to know them, I felt quite held, quite safe. So then I was doing a breath work session, which involves breathing in a particular way that takes you down into your traumas and into your emotional body quite deeply. And I'd had a history of being sexually assaulted, and so I'd done shitloads of work on that, right? It's like most people have had some kind of trauma that leads them to doing this work. So that had been, you know, some of the most obvious examples of mine. And I found that within 20 minutes of breathing this particular way, I was back down in that experience of being raped again. And I was feeling the anguish. And I was like, I realized that in that moment I could scream. So I just screamed my freaking guts out. And because it was not only did I feel safe with those people, but it was in a building that was quite well soundproofed, I wasn't worried about upsetting people, which is why usually we don't scream when we're angry or frustrated, because we're worried about upsetting somebody. Mm-hmm. It's like I could do a whole fucking saga about how we need safe spaces for people to just fucking scream and lose their shit. Because if people were given permission to do it in the first instance, then actually we wouldn't get so fucking sick. So fewer people would have cancer because they could just scream the shit out in the first instance and it wouldn't be like festering and building. And anyway, to get
well, maybe we'll see Carolyn's scream centers popping up.
Oh, I've had that idea for ages. I think it's friggin' brilliant. These mini soundproof rooms in like multiple locations around every city in the world. Heck yes, yes, yes.
I would try them.
I would use it regularly. Although these days I don't have too much reason to need it because I've cleared out a lot of stuff, right? Mm. But after I reflected on that experience, I realized that if I could go down in 20 minutes of like really focused breathing in a particular way of breathing and uncover this anguish, I'm like, when I've done so many other processes on this work, on like those particular experiences, I'm like, oh shit, this tool is incredible. Like, what else is down there? Like, what else is sitting in my body mind that I like haven't got rid of, that I'm not aware of? I'm like, if there are screams and cries inside of me that still need to come out, fuck, I need to let them come out, right?
Yeah.
For like the sake of my own health and growth and ability to be able to help people and hold space for people. So I ended up that next weekend doing a weekend retreat with this guy, and it shifted so much stuff. Oh, my God. I discovered I had so much rage. I had no idea. And it made so much sense because in my family it wasn't okay to upset my mother. It was not okay because she was just holding on. She was just getting by. She was just working out how to raise us three kids.
What type is she, if I might ask?
She's a generator.
Okay.
It's like, you know, dad was working lots of hours, three kids, just mum, like it was just too hard, right? So mm-hmm. she was doing the best that she could. And one of the things that I quickly learned is don't upset mum, because I felt like I must have had some evidence that it would send her in a spiral and it would make her unhappy or something.
Yeah. Right?
So I had a pretty good childhood, but every childhood has mini traumas. Like the thing about being human is we experience all these things and we place meaning on it and we call ourselves a bad person and we call ourselves not good enough, and everyone's just doing the best job they can. I love my mother. She's amazing, and she did the best job that she could, and it meant that I and my brother and sister all had different experiences that led to different things. So it just meant that I had all this rage inside of me that, like, hadn't been able to come out because I hadn't been safe to upset my mother.
Yeah.
So then it was like screaming my guts out until I couldn't even talk anymore. Like, I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I reached a point where I had so much rage that I was so angry that sound wasn't even coming out anymore. And I was like, wow, I'm so angry. Like, my jaw was hurting.
Wow.
My body was shaking. It was unbelievable. Now, what I realized coming out of that experience, Nat, is one, most people are never going to do cathartic breath work because it's too full on. And, I mean, I do this because this is my thing. This is my, like, Carolyn dives deep into waking up. Great. Okay, I'm going to have to get uncomfortable. Great, let's do it. Okay, I'm going to have to go do crazy things that, like, stretch the body and the mind. Great, let's do it, because it's like it's my thing. So I'm prepared to get uncomfortable for my thing. We all are. We're prepared to get uncomfortable for the thing that we totally love.
Mm.
And what I realize is most people are not going to be willing to go and relive their traumas. Most people are not going to be willing to go and cry and scream and have these visions of what it was like to be a one-year-old standing up in the cot crying for mum and mum not coming, right? And it's like most people are not prepared to go there. And so I realized as I reflected on that, and I reflected on like the looking at so many different tools and so many different practitioners. And I realized that there were lots and lots and lots of practitioners who were focused on my tool is the solution. Mm. My tool is the answer. Everybody needs this tool, right? And as I reflected on that and looked at all of the various things that I'd worked with, I saw a few things. I saw one, that as soon as it's a tool, it's in physical form, therefore it has limits.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it has a limit to how much it is going to help an infinite being to discover itself. Two, if I'm working with practitioners who are communicating that their tool is the answer, then that is not a message that I necessarily want to be teaching, because I want to be promoting tools where I am helping people understand that if we're all walking to the top of the mountain, then the top of the mountain is a state of like total awakeness, total awareness, total bliss, realizing that you're an infinite being living through a finite body mind. I'm assuming that this language is something that your audience, will get. I'm assuming that they will, based on what I see from your, but you know, like being God through the human body, right? That there are so many paths to the top of the mountain, and it doesn't fucking matter which one you take, right? And so I realized that, and this is one of the things I'm really excited about in the new year, is connecting more people who are going, like, I have this problem, I'm suffering in this way, I'm in this pain, I have this issue, and what I want is to be happy. What I want is to be more grateful. What I want is to be more loving. What I want is better relationships. Like all of those things we want are further up the mountain, right? So connecting people who are at the bottom of the mountain feeling shitty, feeling sorry for themselves, help them find the correct path for them to walk up the mountain and realize that somebody could get to the top of the mountain and never have heard of fast EFT or never have heard of breathwork or never have heard of human design. They might have taken one of the other infinite number of paths. Mm-hmm. And that's great because that's their path and that's their journey, right? So I reflected on all of this stuff and I realized that I didn't want to be attached to one or even two or three particular paths, because if I was going to serve a greater number of people and ultimately serve myself as an infinite being, then it was going to be about really being with the other person and understanding where they're at and helping them find the right path for themselves without Carolyn having any attachment to them walking my path.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God, Nat's not going to walk my path. Nat has a different path. Let me just help her find her path. And mm-hmm. if she happens to love, like, human design, great, let's walk that path together for as long as we need to walk it together. And then she can walk it without me because she doesn't need me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it was kind of this, you know, 2016 was so interesting because I started the year still very much focused on human design and running group programs around it, and I had products and stuff that people could buy, and it was all, but I was still very much attached to that tool. And then I shifted in about March when I came back to Australia from Bali and did these like 8 months of faster EFT, and oh my God, I woke up so much in 2016. I'm like, I climbed so much higher on that mountain and it was beautiful. And then coming out of breath work and then looking at those various, and I'd used so many tools already before I'd come across human design. But coming out of that, I was just like, no, it's time for Carolyn to stop being attached to people walking the mountain a particular way. It's time to come into realizing that they're all tools, they're all human constructs, they're all fabulous. They're not every single person needs to go through the tools and the processes and the systems that Carolyn has, and to just help people realize that it's not about the tool, it's about it's about getting to a point every day where you just naturally feel gratitude for how amazing life is and for feeling bliss and to be present, to look at a tree and just go, oh my God, isn't that just like the most amazing work of art? And like, look at those leaves. And it's not that you're delusional. It's not that you're crazy. It's that you're genuinely in such a state of bliss that you're like gobsmacked by the world around you. Mm-hmm. Right. And so now, like, thankfully, through like walking those paths and using those tools, it broke me open to a level where I genuinely have chunks of every day where, and it helps when I've had more sleep, you know, like that's good. The days when I've like slept well, it's easier to be present and be really with what's around me. But like genuinely chunks of every day where I'm just in awe, where I literally experience those bliss states of going, wow, this world is amazing. Like I did it last night when I was running with a running group, and they're all like drinkers, and so they're all like, you know, the banter is all very university-ish, right? But I wanted to run more, so I'm like, okay, I'm just going to run with this group. And so it starts raining and I can hear them bitching about the rain, and I just like pull off to the side of the path for a moment because the rain is falling on the river that runs down towards like Sydney Harbour. And it's just so beautiful that I have to just stop and watch it. And they're all lost in the thinking of the fact that rain is bad. And I'm like, I'm getting wet, but I don't give a shit because I'm going to have a shower later. Yeah. And the water falling on the river is beautiful, and you're missing it because you're caught up in the story of like the judgment. And so I'm grateful for the tools because it has helped to break so much of that thinking and that noise and that mess so that I can experience, like I can hear the cicadas outside and go, I love that sound. And I can see these big, beautiful trees out the window and just go, it's gorgeous. And when the cat climbs onto the table and across my laptop going, pay attention to me instead of working, then I can look into its eyes and really be with it and go, oh, you're me and I'm you. Isn't that awesome? That's
hello, so kitty. Awesome.
You know? And so I'm now in a place where, like, coming into 2017, where I'm focused on really understanding how to serve, you know, if I play in the duality, we have to swap, I think, between the lens of oneness and duality, right?
Yeah,
like, we came into human form for a reason. Like, right. Nat and Carolyn get to play together, and that's fun, right? And we can remember for a minute that you're me and I'm you. And it's cool to be able to, like, use that to let all of the noise fall away. But then the playfulness comes in going, oh, we're two different humans. We're separate, right? The illusion of separateness. And so then in the polarity and in the duality, then that's more correct, I guess, to say in the duality. So in the separateness, then I'm focused on going, okay, where is this person at? What are they experiencing? What do they want to experience? And how do I help them climb the mountain the way they want to climb it?
Mm-hmm. And how do you help them crack open the way you have been cracked open? Like, whatever it is.
That I don't help them?
No, I was saying, how can you see and hear and feel them and then help direct them to what would help crack them open in the same ways that you've been cracked open, so that you can be present and, you know, however that looks for them.
Yeah. And I think it even goes further than that in saying that, if they want to be, have that experience of being cracked open, and for some people it's going to take a sledgehammer. And I'm prepared to take a sledgehammer if I will use my words and I will use my language to be very forceful with people if they need it. If they need somebody to bang on that door because they're hiding in the back corner and they're like, no, I'm not going to hear you, but they really want it, right? They've like sent me a memo to go, okay, I'm only going to listen to you if you fucking bash the door down. I'm like, right, I'm covered with the sledgehammer. Got it. But somebody else, it's like I need to whisper to them. I need to like whisper to like unlock the gate to be able to open it up because they're so timid and they're so gentle and they need whispers and they need gentle touch. And if I came with a sledgehammer, they'd be gone. I'd never see them again. So being so present with somebody that I can help them unlock that cage or break open that space in the way that is correct for them without any attachment, because like who gives a fuck the way Carolyn did it? That was the way Carolyn did it. Like, right. What does this person need who's right in front of me? And they'll communicate what they need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is how you came to decide to shift your focus into a different way than just human design. Cool.
Yeah.
And so something I was curious, I just wanted to kind of, I don't know, maybe provoke you or challenge you a little bit and
please
ask, okay, maybe this isn't a challenge for you. I don't know, but I want to know, honestly, what is something that you think is too ridiculous for you to ask for in your own life? Like, what is that edge for you right now?
Oh, I'm going to ask for more interviews where my people interviewing me ask difficult questions. I like it. A big chunk of money all in one go. Because I've had so many stories around money. So actually, like, it feels like way too much money to say, oh yeah, I'll work with you over the next, you know, 3 months and we'll work together quite intensively and it's going to cost you $100,000. Right now that feels too big for me. Mm-hmm. But there's unconsciously, I'm like, oh, I can't do that. How do I provide $100,000 worth of value? But consciously, I'm like, I do shit that I don't know anybody else does. I bring a conversation that I have, like, millionaire and multimillionaire friends say to me, I call you just because I can't have this conversation with anybody else. So consciously, I'm like, I just need to fucking ask for it. This is what I need right now because I have particular things that need to get paid for, and it's not that I'm being greedy. It's just that that would be really useful right now for the things that I have happening in my life. So actually, that's what I'd really like. I'd really like somebody to pay me $100,000 for me to have conversations that I love that will really help them move forward and that we work intensely together, like once or twice a week for 3 months, and I watch their life really unfold and shift and change and improve. And I get paid $100,000 in the process up front.
I support that for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that's a big one too. And especially, through the lens of the human design system, thinking like, okay, especially for projectors and manifestors and reflectors who really need to leverage their time and effort for a greater return, that can be really scary to admit and ask for it, because we're like, can we really provide that value? Like, how do I put a monetary value to what I'm worth in this service? And is that, like, I mean, what the fuck? Like,
And there's so many stories in what you've just said, mm-hmm. if I can pull some of them apart.
Because, yeah.
Because worth is a made-up concept.
Right.
Value is a made-up concept. Right? So even though my unconscious mind, just then talking about it, wants to say, well, how can I provide $100,000 worth of value? It's not my job to provide the value. It is the job of the person receiving the service to decide how much they're going to pull out of that. I've had people in group programs who have paid the exact same amount of money, and some of them totally shift and change their life, and others barely show up and do no work. They paid the same amount of money, but the two people got, you know, like an example of one last year was, I think I had a $400 program that was for a group program that was for a period of 8 weeks. One woman, like, she said to me that she paid for the whole of 2017 with the stuff that she learned. I'm like, wow. That's great value for money. How much did your 2017 cost? That's an excellent return on a $400 investment. Excellent.
That's insane. Yeah, I love that.
And there were others who, like, there was just so many stories, and they took the stuff and they thought about it and they talked over it, but they did almost nothing with it. Right?
Oh my God.
So they didn't even get $400 worth of value out of it. They got a whole lot of talking time, but they didn't change shit, right? So really, it's not about us trying to provide value. It's about us showing up with as much presence and love as we can for the person in front of us, and going, I will serve the hell out of you, and you will take this and do whatever you do with it. I'm going to encourage you to try and get tenfold worth back in terms of the money and time and energy. But that shit's up to you. Like, that's personal responsibility. My responsibility as a practitioner or a facilitator or a space holder is to show up with as much presence and as much love as possible and really be there for you and hear you. And what you do with it, that shit's your business.
Mic drop. I love it. And it's so funny how it is so relative of, like, someone could pay $10,000 for a week course and get tons out of it. And someone else that's like, it wasn't enough for them to push through that barrier, the stories. It's almost like you need to have a course that is $100,000. And that course alone is like gets you through the stories. And then you have the like $400 course that is the real work that gets the leveraging. Like,
And that's why I was saying this to a client I work with yesterday who does lots of strategy stuff. She's really, really good on the marketing and the strategy. And so she's just finally starting to take that stuff and use it with clients. And I said, hun, that's great. And I'm going to tell you, I said, I'm pretty much going to grab you and shake you and insist that you do this. I said, you need to connect your clients with something like Faster EFT or some other process that changes beliefs. Because if you just teach this marketing stuff, all their stories and all their stuff is going to get in the way. The stuff you're teaching is so important, but it's like 10% of the equation. And you know that because her and I have done so much of the belief work and change, right? So that's why, like, when I work with clients, I will only work with clients who tell me that they're willing to have me call them out on their stories. And if they don't already have a way to change their beliefs and unhook the stories, then they agree that they will work with me to, or like work with someone else to be able to learn a way to change the stories. Because I'm like, I am not taking somebody's money if I teach them something they can't do because their bullshit stories are in the way. I'm like, you need to do both. So important.
That's like for, just applies for literally everything. Like if your bullshit stories are in the way, you're not going to get anything out of it. That's
totally.
Wow. Yeah. Ah, wonderful. So let me check the time here. Okay. We're going to wrap it up and I want to extend what we've just been talking about a little bit and ask if you are aware of in this moment now, what in you needs to shift. And you talked a little bit about the beliefs, but what in you needs to shift about the way you are attracting those clients into your life that would be willing to give you that amount of money for the work you do. Does that make sense?
I think so. So I hear two things. One is still an old story or belief that there's something in there that says that, like, even the fact that I had qualified friends of mine who are millionaires and multimillionaires, like, they're just humans. They just happen to have more money in the bank. They happen to have more money come in. So I still have a story about separation and some humans being better than others or different than others. And so, therefore, if I have somebody who is financially wealthy on a pedestal, it makes it much harder for me to serve them and attract them as clients. So that's one thing for me to shift is realizing – no, I can serve all humans. I don't care how many zeros are in your bank account. If you have more zeros, you can just pay me more money. That's fine. Because, you know, that feels like really nice and fair in the world. There are certain people I'm not going to charge a 10-year-old, you know, $200 an hour. They can pay me five as long as they're really, really willing to listen. Yeah, they can pay me half their like pocket money for the week if they really want to shift and change and something, you know, for some reason, if I attracted a 10-year-old, but just, you know, for argument's sake. So that's one thing that I'm hearing. Oh, actually, you know what? Then the other thing just falls away. The other one was part a strategy question around what I'm offering and what I'm communicating in the marketplace. But I now realize it's actually relevant because as soon as I could own the fact that I still had a story around wealthy people, the other one disintegrated. Because really now I have stepped so far away from doing particular packages and programs because I'm far more interested in standing with somebody wherever they are on the mountain and going, okay, I'm with you. Okay, right now I'm with you. And where do you want to go? Great. And then being with them to work out what they need and what I'm prepared how long I'm prepared to walk with them, it packages no longer make sense to me if it's one-on-one work. Obviously, if it's a group program, then you have to create a package because everyone needs to buy into the same thing. But yeah, I know that typically speaking, when somebody has the money, they want to be able to have private conversations to be able to talk about the shit they can't talk to anybody else about. So therefore, I'm going to stand with them wherever they are and go, great, okay, you want to go further up the mountain? Great, okay, well, how far do you want to walk together? And working that out together with them. So the packages are irrelevant. It's just realizing that all humans are humans and peeling away some more of my unconscious stories about what it means to have financial wealth. Because I look at examples of public figures and people who are astronomically wealthy from a material wealth perspective, and I can see all their stories. It's like it's written all over their face, it's in their language, it's in their body language, it's in the health of their relationships. It's like reading a fucking textbook of their life just by watching them. And I'm like, oh, well, I can see all your shit on display. So yeah, if you want to do something about that, then we can do something about that.
That's
and if
funny.
You don't, then don't worry about it because I'll be over there climbing a mountain with someone else.
Yeah, right? And as we're recording this, it's the first week of 2017, and I love this because a lot of when I was doing my sort of checking in for the vibes of now and the sort of upcoming vibes of the year, it was a lot of stuff about shifting those beliefs about money, and a lot of what you've just said was reflected within that, so that's really cool. And so where can people find you? How can someone who's listening who wants to learn more about whatever they've heard from you, or if they're just like, I need to talk to that lady, where can they find you?
So carolinesouthwell.com, and we'll put the link in the show notes. And there's contact pages and blog, and you can read some of my stuff there. You can also look up Caroline Southwell, and there's the page in there. My preference is for people to connect through the page rather than sending friend requests. I just have so many friends on there that I'm like, I don't know who they are. So I'm like, okay. So let's like lean towards pages. And the other thing that occurs to me, and maybe I just give you some details for it, Nat, to be able to put in there, as I hear myself talk about climbing mountains, there is actually it's still in its creation phase, but there is a very good chance that either once or twice this year, I'm going to be co-facilitating on a walking retreat in Nepal, where we're actually going to be doing exactly that. We're going to be hiking the Himalayas and doing transformational coaching as we hike. So I'm like, oh, there's a reason that I keep using this analogy of mountains. Yeah, I forgot. I'm like hiking in Nepal. So people can come with me if they want.
For $100,000.
Well, actually, it's like another woman's program.
Oh, it's $200,000? Okay.
So I haven't quite stretched her to that point yet of like charging that much, so it's going to be significantly less than that, actually. So there's not notes and details of that up, but if somebody happened to hear that and go, oh my god, I totally want to come to Nepal, cool. Then they can just contact me through the website and go, hey, tell me more about that Nepal trip, and as soon as like details come into form, then I can send that through. But that's going to be fun.
Yeah, and I imagine people can sign up for your mailing list and then like your Facebook page, and then they will be able to get all of those details, the deets, when they're fresh and hot off the press.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, I think it's logistical things.
I'm like, I'll
just Google me and just follow me to all the places.
Yeah, sign up for the list, you know, that's where it's at. Cool. So then, thank you so much for coming on here. It was really fun to talk with you, and to also, I'm really excited for our listeners who may not have heard of human design, or if anyone listening goes and finds out a bunch of stuff, like email me and Carolyn and tell us what you find, because it's so exciting. So yeah, let us know. Feel free to write to us. We like receiving letters and emails, and write back. Let us know. Ask us stuff. We're here. So cool. And until next time, just rock on, keep rocking, and thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you so much for listening, and I hope this was super helpful for you. Go check out your human design type. You can just search Human Design America and you can fill out the form and get your type. You need to know your birth date and time. And I want to invite you all to sign up for our newsletter to stay in touch and to also get our secret episodes. So starting in February, we will have our guests. Each guest will have a secret episode where they answer some specific questions about how they transitioned from living this life that was really guided by the programming of society, this life that was like, go get the money, go get the degrees, go get the whatever, and transitioning into a life that was guided by being in right relationship with their purpose and by really following their truth in their heart. And so our first guest that we'll talk with about that is Asia Suler of One Willow Apothecaries, and that'll come out in February. So sign up for our newsletter and you can be sure not to miss it because it is really fun and delightful and super inspiring, I hope, for those of you who are looking to move out of the sort of mainstream hegemonic ways and into a life that is truly guided by your heart and inner wisdom. So you can sign up for that at dreamfreedombeauty.com. And next time you are sitting around on your computer, next time you're scrolling on Facebook, I hope that a little memory will pop up and you'll be like, oh yeah, I should go sign up for those free episodes. So that you make sure to get those secret episodes and all the juicy, fun, delightful, everything goodness embodied in these secret episodes. And if there is someone or something you would like to hear about, always feel free to reach out and let us know. And if you're on Instagram, check us out, Dream Freedom Beauty. And until next time, have an amazing life. Don't forget, in fact, remember to dream the most amazing dreams you can that are aligned with your truth. Go check out Human Design and see if you can tweak your dreams to even be more aligned with how you're wired and what your truth is.